Appreciate both of those special songs this morning. It seems that the theme of this meeting has centered around one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. That's where our help comes from this morning. It's the one that has been faithful. He's been faithful even when we haven't been. He has been there to, as the song said, He has kept His word even when others haven't. He has been there when others have fled the scene. Jesus was still there. And if it had not been for that this morning, I know I would be far from here this morning, and I'm sure that probably all of us would be very, very different people and far from where we are. But I am so thankful for Jesus this morning. Have a very simple message. Before this meeting, the Lord had given me these, and it just, as the messages went forth the first two nights, I was asking, Lord, is this still what you want? Because everything just dovetailed together. But you know the Lord does that. If you will turn with me to the book of John in the 5th chapter, and the title of the message is A Second Touch. Read the story about the man that was at the pool of Bethesda. Verse 2, it says, There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So if just keep in mind now that there was a pool of water, and there were all kinds of sick people around this pool of water. They had all different kinds of needs in their body. And it said an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. Now, they must have not known when the angel was going to come, because if you did, you would have just camped out right literally beside the water, so you wouldn't have to move when the angel came. But apparently, the angel must have come at very uncertain times. They didn't know when to expect the angel to come, and so they had to still live life. They still had to eat. They still had to take care of some of the duties of life. And so they had to maybe set up their little tent, but they couldn't do it right beside the water. And so then when the troubling came, can you imagine the rush of people to get to that pool? All of these sick people, these people with diverse needs in their life, went running, or many of them couldn't run. They were halt and they were lame and just trying to get there as quickly as they can. It must have been quite a sight. And it was in this occasion that Jesus told us about a certain man. It said a certain man had an infirmity 38 years. So this wasn't just an affliction that he'd had for a few weeks or even a year. This was something he had had for a long, long time. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case, he said unto him, and he asked him a question. You know, this morning when Jesus looked on that man, he knew exactly the condition that he was in. And this morning, nothing has changed with God. When Jesus looks on us this morning, individually, I know He can look on the congregation, but individually, the Lord knows where each and every one of us is in our relationship with Him. He knows every need that we have. He knows every secret thing. Things that maybe you have reserved in your heart and you haven't told anybody. Jesus knows exactly the condition that we are in this morning. And you know, that doesn't make me afraid today. I say thank you, Lord. Because where maybe I am not able to express how I feel, and sometimes we express how we feel and it comes out so inadequate, and we kind of make more of a tangle when we try to express it. Have you ever been there? But the Lord looks on us this morning and He understands exactly what is touching our lives. He knows our struggles this morning. He knows the temptations. He knows the failures. He knows everything. He knows the heartache. He knows the grief. And He asked this man a question. He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you know that was kind of almost one of those, this is kind of antiquated speech for the young people, but it was kind of one of those no duh moments. Because he was obviously had a problem. And he was obviously at the pool of Bethesda because he wanted healing, but he had never been able to get there first. And Jesus came along and he asked him, in other words, I think he was wanting to bring it out in the open. Let's not just not talk about it. You know, there are some things and problems that people just don't talk about. We just don't talk about that. Do you know we're going to have to start doing some opening up if we want the Lord to minister to us this morning? And Jesus asked the question to try to facilitate some discussion. Do you want to be made whole? I wonder what our answer to the Lord would be this morning if He came in and just He can start with me. I'd be happy for him to start with me. And he said, do you have a need? And if he just went through the congregation, just one on one, nobody else has to listen. No one else hears what you talk about. And the Lord just says, do you have a need in your life? Yes. But this man said, sir, the man didn't even answer the question. He said, do you want to be made whole? Yes, Lord. But that's not what he said. He began to give the reasons why he was not whole. I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Why are you in the condition that you're in? Well, it's because of this, and it's because of that. And it's because of my raising, it's because of my genetic predispositions, it's because of this person, and it's because of this hardship, it's because of that affliction, it's because of... And we have our reasons this morning, and I don't minimize the reasons, because folks, there's reasons why we are where we are this morning. But Jesus asked him, do you want to be made whole? And Jesus said unto him, he said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, it said the man was made whole. And he took up his bed, and he walked. You know this morning that Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. Can we still say that this morning? That Jesus is still in the business of working miracles in our lives. But we're going to have to be open about it and say, Lord, I have a need in my life. And the Lord is still in the business of changing the natural course of things in our life. It said immediately he was made whole. I had someone came to me one time. It was a number of years ago. No one's done it since. He came and gave me a blank check. And they said, just fill this out for however much you feel led or however much you need. That was difficult. Because if I would have filled that check out for what my need really was, see, I don't know how much they had in the bank. And so I was just, well, I'll just put down to some small conservative amount because I don't know if they have enough money for what I need. Would you like someone just come give you a blank check? Whatever you need, just fill it out. Any takers? This is a church check, actually. I asked Brother Justin for one. Any takers? Just a blank check. The Lord came along and He said, do you want to be made whole? The Lord, do you know, has a whole book of blank checks that He can write for any amount to meet the need that is in our life. And these needs go way beyond the physical. They go way beyond the temporal. And we're interested in this morning the needs that we have in our spirits. The broken heart. The struggles, the disappointments, the failures. The places in life that I have a need in my life, and the Lord's saying, do you want to be made whole? It's like, yes, but we start looking at all these reasons why we're not. And the Lord wants to just look down and say, you know what? It's time to get up. Because we're not talking about what we can do for ourselves this morning. We are talking about the one that died on the cross for you. We're talking about the one that loves you and me more than anybody else. I've shared this before, but think back to the time one of my sons was in such a difficult place, and my heart was breaking. My heart was literally breaking. And it was affecting me in such a great way, and the Lord spoke to me and He said, I love him more than you do. And that almost seemed impossible, because I would have given my life if I could have. That's what Jesus did. Because me giving my life wouldn't change your life. But Jesus dying on the cross came to change our lives. And it was such a comfort to me in the burdens that we carry in life to know that Jesus cares and loves more than we do. And so when He looks on us this morning, He's not looking at us with judgment. Have you ever felt the condemnation of the saints? Thank you for your honesty. It felt like people were looking on, and maybe they understood your mess, or maybe they misunderstood you and thought you made the mess and you didn't. But you just felt, or maybe there were things in life that you just felt some condemnation and misjudged. You know, this morning, the Lord Jesus came and He died for us, not to judge us, but to save us. He came not to look down His spiritual nose at us, so to speak, but He came to elevate us and lift us up from the fallen place that we are in. He came to minister to the heart that's broken. He came to set the captive free. He came to do in your life what we have tried so many times to do ourselves, and we kept meeting failure. Jesus came and said, do you want to be made whole? Got a blank check this morning. The Lord wants to fill out your name, and He wants to write the amount of your need this morning. I am confident that for every spiritual need this morning, that there is enough in the bank account in heaven that can minister to each and every one of us today. I thank God for it. Do you know when Jesus comes on the scene, things are going to change? When Jesus comes on the scene, things will not be left like they were. But He can change even my heart. Do you know there are times that I've had to pray, Lord, would You give me the desire that I need to have? Because sometimes we say, well, I don't have a desire, and so we need to start praying for the desire. Lord, I know this is where You want me to be, and frankly, I don't want to be there. I'm talking in the flesh. Not my will, Lord, but Lord, would You give me the desire to do Your will? Would You give me the desire to submit? I don't want to submit. I don't want to do what I need to do. So Lord, would you even give me the desire? Do you know that expression right there is an indication that something is still alive in your spirit that the Lord can revive and renew, and He can meet that need. That we can get up from being in the presence of God to be changed, never to go back to where we were. Think about, and we're not going to take the time to read all the examples this morning in the Scripture, but I'm sure you know many of these stories. In the 8th chapter of Matthew, we read about a leper that came to Jesus. And he was worshiping Jesus, and he said, Lord, he said, if You want to, He said, you can make me clean. Do you think the Lord could meet your need if He really wanted to this morning? So we say, Lord, increase our faith. And we look at the conditions of death that there might be that we heard about Thursday night. We say, but Lord, I know if You really wanted to. What do you think God's will is for us this morning? What is God's will in our battles, in our needs? What is His will? Do you know we know this morning what His will is? His will is that we have peace. His will is that we have victory. His will is that we have spiritual life. So what is keeping us? What is keeping us, folks, from attaining the victories in the healing of the broken hearts that we need? What is it that's keeping us? Lord, increase my faith. Lord, help me to acknowledge that, Lord, I know if you want to, you can heal me. And Jesus looked on the leper, and the scripture says he put forth his hand. And you know what he did? He touched the leper. And that was something that you weren't supposed to do. Don't get involved. You know, it's wearing to get involved in people's problems. It'll zap something from you. Leprosy, you were not, according to the law, supposed to touch the leper. And Jesus came to show us something different, that because of His power, He was not afraid to reach out and get His hands dirty, so to speak, and He touched the leper. And you know, that leper was cleansed immediately because of the touch of Jesus Christ. There's a song that says, He touched me. And I believe one of the places in that song, and I didn't look it up, it said, I will no longer be the same. He touched me. Have you ever experienced the touch of the Lord? And experienced a change in your life, and you couldn't explain why or how, but I just know something changed, and it was because the Lord Jesus came along, and He touched me where I was hurting, and it began to bring healing. Sometimes instant, and sometimes He started a process of healing. But something changed. On the Mount of Transfiguration, do you remember when Moses and Elias were there with Christ? And they were talking about, Peter said, let's build a tabernacle to all three. And the voice of God spoke out of heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. In other words, get your eyes off of Moses. He was the lawgiver. Get your eyes off Elias. He was the prophet. The answer to our needs this morning is not going to come from the ministry. The Lord has given the ministry to preach the Word and to share the Word, but they do not have the grace and the strength and the power to change what's down deep inside. That doesn't mean don't listen to them, because only as they speak the words of Christ, though, is their validity. You understand? We can get our eyes on the saints and on the church sometimes, and do you know that we're all people here this morning? Who of us this morning here does not have a need in our life? Who here has it all together and is perfect, humanly speaking? We all have needs, and that is why we are desperate for the presence of the Lord in our life. That in my need, in my brokenness, the Lord can enable me to rise above myself and my circumstances. And so when the voice of God spoke out, the disciples, they fell down and they were afraid. Does anybody remember what Jesus did? He didn't get on to them. Scripture says that over in Matthew 17, verse 7, it said, Jesus came and He touched them. He put His hand on them. And He said, arise and be not afraid. You know, there is something about the human touch that nothing can replicate. I think they've done studies even with babies and children. It's not enough just to talk to them. Children that don't have someone to put their arm around them and give them a hug, it hinders them psychologically. And there's nothing like being in a time of worry, questions, and fear, and the Lord comes along, and sometimes He doesn't even say anything, and you can just feel the Lord put His hand on your shoulder. Have you all ever experienced that? I have many times in my life when the Lord came along and said, I'm in control. Don't be afraid. Get up and keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. I'm here. I would that you know this morning that the Lord has not left His people. And in your battles and in your struggles, when you start feeling so alone, I would that you experience the touch of Jesus Christ and hear Him say those words, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here. It's all right." Because it is the Lord's will that we be at peace this morning. There is another instance over in the 20th chapter of Matthew where there were some blind men that were calling out to the Master. And Jesus stopped and He asked them a question again. He said, What do you want me to do for you? You know, the Lord is still asking us that this morning. What do you want? Got a checkbook. What's your need? What do you want? And the blind men said, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." Lord, we can't see. You know, there is too much spiritual blindness right among, and I'm just going to preach to us as some of God's people this morning, all right? There's too much spiritual blindness going around, folks. Too many eyes have been blinded to the way that the Lord wants us to live and for the victories that God wants for us in our life. And Jesus asked me, said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Lord, we want to see." This morning, if you can't see, you know, questions are natural. There are times that all of us go through some confusing times. We all go through some battles of faith sometimes. You know, the devil has a way, I'm sure I'm not the only one. The devil has a way of coming in and trying to cause you to question, is this even real? I mean, am I just giving my life for a fable? Am I just giving my life for traditions of man and it's just another church and just another way to live life? And is this really what I'm giving my life for? And is this even real? And the devil tries to start making us feel, excuse the word, he tries to make us start feeling stupid. You know what I'm talking about? He tries to make us feel foolish. But Lord, increase my faith because I know it's real. I have experienced the touch of the Lord in my life. I've experienced it physically when I couldn't walk, when I was having seizures, when I was getting to the place I wasn't mobile and the Lord did something miraculous. When the Lord took my son that was in essence dead and lifted him from death, I have seen the Lord do that. But most importantly, I have experienced the Lord bringing healing to my heart. I've experienced the Lord healing my emotions. I've experienced the Lord giving me power over temptation. I've experienced the Lord's deliverance. And how can I say this morning that it's not real? I know it's real this morning. So Lord, help us when He says, "What do you want me to do?" That our faith would be increased no matter what stage of death or decay, or no matter what minor weakness it is. We don't have to settle for those things. The Lord is saying, "What do you want me to do?" And the blind man said, "Lord, we want to see." Lord, open our eyes this morning. Open our eyes to Your truth. Open our eyes to purity and holiness and godliness. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes off of the world and our eyes illuminated and under that we might understand the way of the Lord more perfectly. And so Jesus, He had compassion, the Scripture said. He had compassion on them and He touched. Again, He used His hand. It said He touched their eyes and immediately their eyes received sight. Questions this morning? Doubts? You know where the answer is going to be found? It's going to be found by a touch from Jesus Christ. And the Lord is not interested in doing the same old thing in our lives this morning. There is a scripture over in Isaiah 43 in the 19th verse that says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do something that I have never done before." Now, I wrote on the board a second touch. And so what's that all about? This summer, a young man came to me, and he had a question. I would like to read this. This will be our last scripture, but I would like to read to you from the book of Mark in the 8th chapter. And the young man asked me, he said, "Why did Jesus do this?" Mark 8, beginning with verse 22. It said, "He cometh the Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him." Do you know they had heard about his touch? They knew that Jesus was in the business of reaching out and touching people's needs. And so they came and say, "Lord, we want you to touch him." Specifically, they had a desire to be touched by the Master. And it said he took the blind man by the hand because he couldn't see. Are you willing to let the Lord lead you this morning? Are you willing, even in a state of blindness, to put your hand out and allow the Lord to lead you where He wants to take you? Jesus led him out of town, and it said when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. Jesus, I don't know if he spit directly. There's other instances where Jesus did something very similar. He took spit and he put it on the man's eyes. It was something physical. See, Jesus was going to do a spiritual work. But it was a symbol. I'm taking something of me and I'm putting it on what is broken, what is blinded. And it's possible, some of the commentators say that it's possible that the man's eyes, after being blind, if they were closed, depending on what the affliction was, they might have been gummed up and stuck. You know, it doesn't sound real appetizing. But you know something about our weaknesses aren't real appetizing this morning? Something about our failures? About the things that affect our life, it's not real conducive to making us feel good when we talk about it. And Jesus reached out and He touched that. And He might have rubbed that man's eyes and wiped that sticky, gummy stuff off so that the man could open his eyelids that maybe had been shut for a long time. And He asked him, He said, "Do you see?" And then He looked up and He said, "I see men as trees walking." The touch of the Lord did something, didn't it? It's better than it used to be. And this is the crux of the message this morning. That there are times that the Lord touches us and there is an instant deliverance and an instant healing that takes place. But there are also times, and I'm thankful for this story right here. I'm thankful for the second touch. The Lord touched the man and He said, "Is it better? Do you see now?" And he said, "Lord, I see men walking as trees. Used to it was darkness. It was worse than it is today." In other words, your touch, Lord, did something for me. But there's still a problem. And so it said, after that, Jesus put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. Have you ever been there? You brought your knee to the Lord and said, "Lord, I'm humbling myself before you, and I need help. I need some healing in my spirit. I have some struggles. There's some things that, Lord, I really need you to reach out. And I need your touch, Lord." And you felt the touch of the Lord. You experienced it, and something changed. It was better. But sometimes, and I've been at this place, I was like, "Lord, I know you did something for me. But it's not perfect yet. It's not, there's still some cloudiness in my eyes. You gave me a touch, Lord, so what I need this morning then is another touch. It doesn't mean that God has failed you. Young people, if you have prayed and sought the Lord at an altar of prayer before, and you know the Lord met you there, and you left and things were better, but it seemed like that you still don't have that place of victory or that place of peace or that understanding that you know you really want and desire, it's all right to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a second touch. And you know, we could very easily this morning put a line through that and put third and fourth. Because there have been times in my life I've had to come back to the Lord time and time again. My dad tells, if you go to the Oregon meeting, you may hear my father tell this. He tells it frequently. He says, if you look from this bench right over here up to the altar, he said, the carpet's a little bit worn right there. He said, that's where Michael made a path down to the altar. I don't regret that as a child. I don't regret it as an adult. Because there have been so many times that I know the Lord met with me. And I know He changed. He worked. But Lord, I still have a need. Lord, I'm still hurting. Lord, I need something perfected. And the Lord is not saying, well, it's your fault, that the Lord is willing this morning to reach out with a second touch and minister to the needs of our life. So as we stand and sing a song this morning, I would like to invite anyone that wants to feel and experience the touch of the Lord to come and pray. I want you to know that that check has not been filled out. It's enough. The Lord has enough this morning to minister to all of us a second time that we might be made whole. Amen.